Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, bless God.
Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
To Pastor Claude White, Jr. Pulpit Company, officers of this great church, members, visitors, friends, and I learned a new word, frenemies. Hopefully we have no enemies in here. I'm happy to be in the city of Peoria, state of Illinois, and in Grace Baptist Church among God's people. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
So I was waiting at the hotel. Amen. I had everything ready. Amen. Waiting to get here.
Yeah. Right now.
To the house of the Lord.
Wonderful.
There is a word.
There's a word.
From the Lord. But as I approach the word, I heard a fella this morning singing a hymn. And he said, I know I am a child of God. Although I move so slow. I'm going to wait right here till the Spirit comes and move at God's command. Will y'all let me move at God's command? Amen, amen, amen. I made up my mind that I was going to do it God's way. And I told my son, I said, you know, I did all of that studying and preparing, amen, my lesson. And I thought I had it all together, what I was going to say this morning. And I got back to the hotel last night and started reading over my manuscript. Amen, and I do mean manual. Script. Amen. And it wasn't there. And so I said, Lord, well, you never fail me yet. Amen. And this morning, amen, he gave me, amen, what he wanted me to say. Amen. So I had some stuff I wanted to say. Amen. But I ain't going to say that. Amen. I'm going to say what he told me. Are y'all with that? I want to call your attention, amen, to the fifth chapter, the fourth and fifth chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. And I the main portion is going to be verses 1 and 2 from chapter 5. But I like to keep things in context. So we'll begin at chapter 4, verse 23.
All right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, y'all may see me changing glasses here every now and then. Because I got one pair I'll read out of and one pair I'll have to look out of. Amen. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic. Amen. Now, there's a difference in possession of devils and lunatic. Amen. And those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. He opened his mouth and taught them. Amen. Disciples need a teacher. Amen. Pupils need teachers. And Jesus is the best teacher. Amen. Because the Bible tells us that he is God with us. God with us. Jesus. The main portion of the text that I want to illuminate is that part that says he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And then he opened his mouth and taught them. Now, I understand that this year you are talking about commitment to Christian discipleship.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I want to talk to you briefly on the subject embracing your commitment to Christian discipleship. All right? Amen. Now, before I get into the meat of my message, I just want to tell you something about Reverend Claude White Jr. Amen. I want to tell you about his calling. Amen. I don't even know whether he remembers. Amen. When he expressed to me and his mother that he had a desire to preach the word of God. He was still a little boy. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, Daddy, I wanna preach the gospel. He said, but the Lord ain't said nothing to me yet. Amen. I said, well, if he ain't said nothing to you yet, amen, or if he hasn't indicated to you yet that you have a calling on your life, you need to go back and
yes, Lord. And
talk to him, pray about it. And he had tears in his eyes. And he went back and he prayed for several days. And finally he came back and he told me, he said, Daddy, I done heard from the Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't know whether he remembered that, but I remember it. Amen. And he when he told us that, me and my wife went back, and we began to pray. He said, I said, well, baby, I didn't even know he wanted to be a preacher. Amen. I didn't know he wanted to, because you know, a lot of times preachers will push. Come on now. Their children into, amen, into accepting a calling. But he wasn't like that. Amen. And we didn't push him. We just allowed him to develop a desire. And I believe that the Apostle Paul said that, the desire, amen, to preach the word is a good desire. Amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, there are four main points that I want to try to suggest to you and to highlight about embracing your spiritual commitment, your commitment to discipleship. Number one, I want to hopefully say to you what it is to be committed, or what commitment to Christian discipleship is.
All right.
Number two, I want to say to you why you should become committed to Christian discipleship if you haven't already. And then I want to say, how do you become committed to Christian discipleship? And then fourth and lastly, what does it take to stay committed to Christian discipleship? All right. Now I said to you, now the Lord redirected me, and so you're going to have to bear with me. Amen. First of all, we need to recognize that Jesus, the same Jesus that went up into the mountain and sat down and prepared himself to talk to his disciples, is still ready and willing to teach. Amen. He taught them from the mountaintop. But we know that he's now seated at the right hand of God the Father in heavenly places. But he still is able to speak to us from heavenly places. Our commitment to Christian discipleship, if we are going to embrace a commitment, we must know exactly what it is that we are committing to.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Lord.
And what exactly we are doing when we say we are making a commitment to discipleship. Now, briefly, the word for disciple in the Greek is mathetes, and means a learner or a pupil. Are you going to pray with me?
Yes, sir.
However, in the New Testament, it means more. It means an adherent who accepts the instructions given to him and also makes those instructions the rule and guide for their faith and conduct for life. To make a commitment means to make a promise. To give yourself your money, your time, etc., to support or buy something. Are you with me? Now let's combine those two terms. Disciple and commitment. From our definition of the terms commitment and discipleship, we deduce that a person committed to discipleship is one who has come to the realization that he or she must be an adherent to the word of God, must be an adherent to the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and accept the instructions from our Lord as the rule and guide for their faith and practice. Are you with me? Amen. Not just for part-time, but what? For all time. Why should you become a committed Christian disciple? Why should you become? Well, what are the benefits? How does it benefit me to embrace a commitment to discipleship? There are many benefits, but because of constrictions on time and restrictions on the time, I'm only going to give you three. But these three should help you along the way. When I am personally committed to Jesus, when I'm personally committed to discipleship, God is personally committed to me. Are you with me? Amen. When you commit to God, God commits to you. There is a mathematical reciprocation that takes place when you are committed to discipleship. Amen, amen. God reciprocates whatever you put into your discipleship training. Amen. If you put in a little bit, come on, then you will. Get a little bit.
Yes, sir.
If you put in a little bit more, Come on now. Amen, 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 amen. Nothing from nothing. Leaves nothing. Now you can't get something out of nothing. I don't care what you do. So if you don't put in any time in discipleship training and watching the Lord in setting your sights on heavenly places, then you're not going to get anything. So the number one thing is when we are personally committed to discipleship, God is what? Personally committed to us.
I know you're right. I know you're right about it.
In John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's commitment, isn't it? Amen, amen. God will hear you when you pray. If you are committed to him. Amen. Now I wanted to tell you about the levels of commitment. Amen. But I'm not going to go into all of that. Amen. Number two, when I'm personally committed to discipleship, it allows me to be able to access God's presence, his grace, and his love. Amen, amen. You ought to want to have access. Amen. You see, everybody can't feel the divine presence.
Amen.
All right, and everybody don't want to what?
Right.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Feel the divine presence. And everybody does not have the same grace.
Grace.
Everybody doesn't have the same love from God because they don't make themselves available. Amen. Part of getting the love of God is being available to him. Jesus did not say anything. He did not give out any word. He did not give out any teaching until his disciples came unto him and sat down. Amen. Then the Bible says, then he taught them. He opened his mouth and what? Taught them. They made themselves available. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And we will manifest ourselves unto him. Amen, amen, amen. Isn't that receiving the presence, the grace, and the love of God?
Yes, sir.
We have it right from Jesus. Amen. Jesus will teach us what we need to know if we make ourselves available. Amen. We can't benefit from the love of God if we are far away from him. But the nearer we draw unto him, amen, the more we can feel the love of God. Amen. And he says he will make himself manifest. Amen. Third benefit or reason is When I am embracing my commitment to discipleship, I develop an open-ended relationship with God, where He communes with me and continues forming me into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a great benefit. Amen. Jesus said in chapter 14, verse 23 and 26, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Amen. You see, if you're going to embrace discipleship, Christian discipleship, you're going to have to keep Jesus's words. Amen. In order to keep them, you got to know them. Amen. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Yeah. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. The Apostle Paul says this, to whom he, God, did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many. Amen. So one of the benefits then is that we are able to stay in the presence of God, and God continues to form us, shape us in the image of his Son Jesus. Amen. I know that's right. Amen. That's right if you like it, and it's right if you don't like it. Amen. How do you become a committed disciple? Number one, you got to pay up. Amen, amen. You need to pay attention to embrace your commitment to Christian discipleship. You must pay attention to what's going on around you. You must pay attention to your motives and remember that only what you do for Christ will last. You got to pay attention. Then you need to pay your tithes and offerings. You got to pay up. Then number two, you need to spend. Amen. You got to spend. I say you got to pay up, then you got to spend. Spend what? You must spend some time for the purpose of kingdom building. Amen. You need to promote God's kingdom. And you can't promote God's kingdom if you're not spending some time in kingdom building. And then you need to expend. Amen. Expend. You need to expend or use your energy in service to God and the church. Amen. Amen. You can't become a committed Christian disciple if you don't ever work in the church. And I'm not talking about your job. I'm not talking about your carnal job. But you need to expend some energy in the church. Then you need to give. You need to give yourself in support of the kingdom's business. Remember, if you save yourself, you lose yourself. Give yourself to the work that is at hand. Give out, but don't give up. Amen. You need to learn how to give. Then, last of all, glory to Jesus.
I say glory.
What does it take to stay committed to Christian discipleship? Well, if you're going to stay committed to your discipleship, if you're going to stay committed to Christian discipleship, then you got to stay engaged. Remember that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You got to stay engaged with Jesus. You got to stay engaged with Christian thought. You got to observe your own consciousness. Amen. You don't want to be, somebody who's not there. Amen. Amen. You know, you got some people that they're just not there. Amen. Anytime you look at them, you don't see. You got to wake them up. Amen. In order to really recognize that they are there. In other words, you need to stay engaged to what's going on in your own mental environment. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Now I'm almost through. Staying engaged means watching what's going on in your thinking. You see, it's easy to slip up. It's easy to mess up when you don't know what's going on in your own house. Amen, amen. When you know, we're still raising some children, some grandchildren. But when we were raising our own children, amen, amen, we stayed engaged. We watched what was going on in the house. Amen. Nowadays they're talking about children need privacy. Huh? Amen. If you're a parent, you better stay engaged. You better stay on the job of being a parent. I'm not your friend in that way. Ain't no room I can't go in. Glory to God. And you ain't gonna have nothing in there that I don't know about. And what I'm saying to you is that you need to set a watch over your own mind. Proverbs says, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. If you are going to stay a committed Christian disciple, then you got to stay engaged. Remember Jesus, the same one that went up into the mountain, sat down, and his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, and he told them about the business of the kingdom. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, number one, to be blessed here. I know sometimes people think it means to be happy. But see, the next verse say, blessed are they that mourn. You see, mourning and happiness don't go together. But here, the blessedness is to be satisfied with Jesus. It is to have all that you need. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit know that without God, they can't do anything. The word for poor in the Greek here is tokos. It means to be helpless. To be defenseless, to be hopeless and helpless. Well, Jesus wants you to understand that you need to have a hopeless attitude in the spirit. You need to realize that God is your hope. I believe David said he's a very present help in the time of trouble. While embracing your Christian commitment to Christian discipleship, then you are going to have to recognize that you don't have enough to go this journey on your own. You gotta have Jesus. Hey, you gotta have Jesus to make this journey. For without him, you need to recognize that you are hopeless, helpless, and destitute. I believe that's the spirit and the gist of that verse. Then he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Holy Ghost, I believe he's saying to us, every now and then, there ought to be something in your life that caused you to shed a few tears. You ought not to be so hard-hearted that you can't look at somebody who's a little worse off than you are and show some pity. Something ought to make you cry sometime. You ought to realize that your tears mean something to God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Heaven is able to comfort you this morning. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you want to have anything in life, you need to humble yourself. I believe Jesus is teaching now. Yes, he is. You need to be meek as a lamb. You need not to be so ornery. You ought not to be so stubborn-hearted. For blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The wolf won't inherit the earth because he's not meek. But the lamb, reminds me of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That same Jesus that went up into the mountain, descended the mountain. Yes, he did. on the way to Golgotha's hill. He had a mission to perform. Yes, he did. He was committed to his discipleship before God. Yes, I hear him saying that the disciple is not greater than his master, but whatsoever I've done, you shall do it also. If the world hates me, you need to recognize that it's gonna hate you also. As I get ready to go to my seat, I need to let you know something. We got too many Christian disciples, folk posing to be Christian disciples, want to cozy up to the world, but the world won't like you. The world won't love you, and you need to stop trying to get the love of the world. You have a greater love. A greater love. No greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. Hear Jesus saying, I love you, and I love you to death. I'm going to Calvary Hill. Yes, I am. I'm on a mission to buy your pardon. I'm on a mission. Yes, I am. I'm committed to your freedom from sin. I gotta go to Calvary. Yes. And on his way to Calvary, the Bible says he healed some sick. Yeah. He cast out some devils. Yeah. And he healed some lunatics. Yes, he did. Oh, yes. He raised the dead on the way to Calvary. Yes, he did. I'm closing now. When that great day came, they had him in the upper room. I heard Jesus said, one of you that sitteth with me will betray me. And I heard them say, Lord, is it me? Lord, is it I? Jesus didn't out the boy. He didn't out Judas. But I heard Peter said, John, you know he'll tell you who it is. John, you are closer to Jesus. Won't you ask him who it is? And John said, Lord, who is it? Jesus said, it's the one that takes a sop at the same time I do. And then Judas reached his hand into the bowl about the same time that Jesus did. And he said to him, go ahead on and do what you do quickly, cause I'm ready. Ready to get it on with the devil. Yes, I am. And Jesus, yeah, somebody said they went out into a garden and he prayed there. As he prayed, he said, they said he went a little farther called the two of his disciples and said, come go with me and pray with me yonder while I'm suffering. You see, Jesus suffered for your sins and mine. I'm closing now. Yes, he did. He hated sin, but he loved sinners. He went on a little further and prayed, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. Somebody said he was trying to forego the Calvary, the cross of Calvary, but I don't think so. What he was really saying, Lord, I'm ready to be offered up, and the time is so long. I've been waiting for this moment, because I if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm ready. Yes, I am. And about that time, God caused the wind of time to move on a little faster. And then they came and got him. Yes, they did. They took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. But they found no fault in him. They took him to Pilate. And Pilate had him scourged, beat until the blood down. And then he brought him back and said, behold the man, I find no fault in him. That same Jesus, we can find no fault in him. I'm glad today that they took my Lord and your God out to Calvary. He stretched out his arms wide. They nailed his hand. They nailed his feet. But he never said a mumbling word. They lifted him up. Yes, they did. In the midst of earth and glory, he stayed there. Hey! He stayed there. Yes, he did. Yes, he stayed there about 3 hours. And somebody said, well, the sun began to go down. The sun said, the Son of God is shining, and I can't shine while he's shining. He died. He died. He died on Calvary. Yes, he died. He died until heaven got the news. He died until my sins were forgiven. He died until hell began to reel and rock. He died. Yes, he did. He died so that you and I could approach the throne of God. But he didn't stay dead. They put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there. One day for the Father, one day for the Son. Early. 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 Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. I'm glad he didn't stay in the grave. I'm glad he got up. My teacher and your teacher is sitting on the right hand of God in glory. He still speaks. And when he speaks, The earth will get the news. I heard somebody say that heaven is God's throne and earth is his footstool. And if that's so, we are still seated at the foot of Jesus. He's able, yes, he is, to keep us if we want to be kept. He's able, yes, to change sinners into saints. He's able to make you into his perfect image. God bless you.